Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 34. I'm going to share with you some things I think going forward that will help you. We've looked at our past and we've looked at where we are. And now we need to know where do we go from here? Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Right? My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be what? Is anybody glad here today? Yeah, anybody? You should be over a lot of good things God has done. Remember, we need to step out of that negativity into all the good things that God has provided for us and the blessings that all of us share in every single day. Because you can get negative really fast in the culture we live in right now. So, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify him. Thank God he's bigger than anything we face. Let us exalt his name together. That means the body does that as one voice, honoring the name of our Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. Amen. Father, thank you for truth. Help us to know that you have tabbed us as overcomers. May we live that way, express that way, speak that way, anoint us to hear that, and to live it out in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Wow, the fourth verse lit me up. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Anybody ever have any fears listening to the news and watching people do things you never thought could ever happen in America? Let me give you a few important principles, because if you'll apply them, and they will help lead you to walking in the blessing of the Lord instead of in the dilemmas that are being created almost daily around us. The blessings of God's goodness will overtake you. How many want to be overtaken by the blessing of the Lord? First of all, if you want blessings from the Lord in your life, you must create the atmosphere, the right atmosphere. And it's very important to do that, because we live in an atmosphere that's toxic today, right? So how do you create the right atmosphere in your life so God can bless you and break through in your life? Well, it starts with praise. That's where it begins, with gratitude. Praise creates the atmosphere where God can bless you. Did you know that when you're always angry and display only the emotion of anger, if someone walks into a room where there's been an angry explosion or spirit, you can feel the anger in the atmosphere? You realize that when someone's depressed and you get near them, that they're giving off a spirit, and you can feel that and you can sense that. I call it a climate. It's an atmosphere. Even if they don't open their mouth, the climate in life is an atmosphere of depression and negativity, a discouraged, depressed spirit. You can sense that. You can feel that. There's something about human life. You can create an atmosphere around you. And I think the atmosphere we should give off is what Paul refers to as a sweet-smelling savor, like incense on the altar before our God. The amazing thing about praise, it creates the climate where God can bless you. Amen? And there's an amazing story in the Old Testament. You remember King Saul. King Saul was deeply buried in depression, troubled by evil spirits because the Holy Spirit had departed from him. And he would then send for David to help him. And how did David help him? David would begin to play his praise and his worship music in the palace where King Saul was. Using his harp, he honored the Lord through his expressions of anointed service and worship to God. And as he praised and worshiped the Lord, devils would literally exit Saul's life. And the spirit of depression would instantly leave. And all David did was change the atmosphere, and it brought peace into the palace and peace into Saul's life. There's something about when you're praising the Lord, it creates a whole new atmosphere. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We're told to put on that garment of praise and shake off that spirit of heaviness. And that spirit of heaviness is pretty preeminent in our culture today. Everybody wants to get rid of their fears and find hope in the culture we're living in. Everybody wants relief from their anxiety. Everybody wants to find a way to de-stress. But many don't understand that it's not enough to remove the spirit of heaviness. You need to replace it. You don't just take the heavy spirit off, but you put on something in its place. You put on the garment of praise. Amen? For instance, you can't grow bananas in Alaska. How many know you can't do that, right? Why? Because the climate is not right. You need a tropical climate. You know, you can go to Jamaica and grow bananas in Jamaica because the climate is conducive to growing that kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit includes peace and joy. But even if your outward circumstances tend to want to drive you down, don't be frustrated by that, because as long as you're rehashing what you've been through in every detail, in all the negativity, you're wallowing in self-pity. And once your mind gets buried in that, then your feelings follow that, and your attitude and actions follow that, and you're speaking about how bad life is, you're going through the self-pity moment. You'll never see a change as long as you're in that hole, because David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Do you think he went through some difficult places? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What David was saying, I will get my eyes off of the negative, out of the hopelessness, and out of the garbage going around me. I will lift them to the only God who can change things. Listen to what David is saying. He's saying, I will change the focus of my life. And here's what you do when you begin to create an atmosphere of praise. We take the focus off of self and place our trust in the God who can change things. And when we begin to bless the Lord and praise the Lord, we create an atmosphere where God can move in our condition. How many want God to move in our condition? Then we need to stop complaining about our condition and start praising God because of who he is in the middle of our condition. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm going to say it because the Holy Spirit dropped it into my tank. And as I looked at circumstances and going back to 2020 and the circumstances we all faced with COVID and then an election and the results of what we're all now facing because of that election, it's very easy for us to get negative about life and circumstances. And we can get started on that, can't we? You know, if somebody starts pushing that button, the starter goes off, and here we go, and it all comes out. And we're frustrated over what we're observing and seeing. So people have been praying. We've used the pattern of Scripture that if we humble ourselves and pray, you know, and turn from our wicked ways, and we're believing God to do miracles. In the meantime, it seems like things are getting worse instead of getting better. And I talked to the Holy Spirit about that. I said, what is the deal with this? Where are we going with this? And here's how he made me understand this. There's always pain before there's the birth. And when the pain gets strong enough, and the pain gets deep enough, and the pain affects you squarely where you cannot avoid it any longer, and people begin now to run toward me because they know there's only one answer for the dilemma we're in. I have allowed this, he said to me. I was, oh, you've allowed this. And I'm going to continue to allow it. Because there is a building wave of people who are seeking me and pleading with me that we're going to live to see this thing turn in a direction the likes of which we've never seen. I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh in these latter days. This wave I'm building because of people's frustration and people's anxiety and people having nowhere to go but to the Lord, people who don't even know the Lord getting frustrated and upset and bothered by what's going on will be a complete spiritual turnaround as the end result. I'm allowing it because I want the pain before the birth. And when the birth happens, it's going to be unlike any joy you've ever experienced in your entire lifetime. So I'm rejoicing in the moment because God's going to do some great things. God will deliver us. Amen? So here's what you do. you create an atmosphere of praise. We take the focus off of self and trust in the Lord. Do you understand what I'm preaching about this morning? Right? David said, when I began to praise my God, he began to deliver me from all my fears. And there's something about that. When God begins to work, when he hears his people believing him, trusting him, and it all begins not when God changes, but when we change the atmosphere around our lives. Understand something. Let me ask you a question. What's the atmosphere around your life? Who are the people you choose to hang out with? That is the atmosphere of your life. What music do you listen to? What kind of stuff do you look at? That's the atmosphere of your life. You create the atmosphere with the words of your mouth. What kind of words do you speak? Words that are negative, words of defeat, words of lack. Well, I don't know where we're going, how we're going to make it. You know, we probably aren't going to survive. You're creating an atmosphere and a climate in your life. We have to change the climate before anything else is going to change. And the word records that Paul and Silas were incarcerated in a filthy Philippian prison and dungeon. They'd been beaten nearly to death. It says the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, it was midnight. Everyone present today will have a midnight experience. Everyone. What do you do when it's midnight? What do you do when it doesn't appear that anything is turning in the direction you hoped for? What do you do at midnight? What do you do when nothing is right and all hell's breaking loose? You don't just sit there and whine. You change the atmosphere of the circumstance with praise. At midnight, they sang praises to the Lord. Think about this. Whether it's midnight, Toby Mack wrote, or midday, he's never early, never late. He will stand by what he claimed, right? I've lived enough life to say, help is on the way. How many know help is on the way? Everyone's going to face a midnight. So at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. No doubt, they probably never heard anybody in that prison ever do that before. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. Man, God had a jailbreak that night. It was amazing. And when you praise God, it opens every door. It opens the door for your healing. It opens the door for prosperity. It opens the door for victory. It opens the door for coming out of darkness into the light. Whatever chain needs to be broken is snapped, because there's something about praising the Lord that brings the presence of God. When you praise him, you create an atmosphere where God can come and bless your life. You remember Jehoshaphat? He feared and set himself to seek the Lord. So what do you do in fear? Take direction from the scripture. He set himself to seek the Lord. Three armies of nations were converging to destroy Israel. And that's why King Jehoshaphat put his worship team out in front of the troops and sent them out to the battlefront. So there you go, Pastor Michael. Lead with the team. The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. I'd like somebody to write that out so we can sing that chorus. And at that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. So when he put them out into the battle, the word says the enemy was confused by the sound of their praises, turned on one another, and began to fight each other and destroy each other's army. So when you send out your praise, you're sending it into the midst of principalities and powers, and it jams the circuits of hell. It absolutely destroys their connectivity, and it confuses the strategies of the devil when we begin to praise the Lord. So, saints, take a lesson from God's word. Here, Paul and Silas, back in this dungeon at midnight, they're praising God. The atmosphere had to be depressing. Now, those that have explored that particular dungeon tell us it was considerably underground and was full of stench and horrible stuff that was left there by the prisoners, right? It was hopeless. It was painful. But as they began to sing praises, because listen, they had been beaten. They had a lot to complain about just in the soreness of their bodies. But they began to change the atmosphere in a dungeon that stank. And I mean, the stuff that was in there, and they changed that total atmosphere. God, seated in heaven, leans over and asks, "Hey, Gabe, what's that sound I hear? I hear singing." And Gabriel said, "Well, your angels are always singing. It's constant music here." "No, Gabe, it's a different kind of singing." And God leaned over and listened to two saints singing in the middle of injustice, in the middle of depression, in the middle of horrible pain, in the middle of persecution. And they're singing praises to God. And the word says that the heavens are God's throne and the earth is his footstool. So I can see God as he begins to tap his big toe to the music, right? The earth being his footstool. And as he taps his toe, there's an earthquake. And every chain fell off and every door sprung open and they walked out free because they changed the atmosphere of their circumstance. And the scripture says the person who was charged to keep them imprisoned, he and his family gave their whole lives to the Lord. The Lord wants you to know that Judah goes into battle first. And if Judah leads the way, then victory's on the way. And if praise leads the way, victory is on the way. You don't wait until victory appears to shout to the Lord. You don't wait for that moment. When it's midnight, that's when you praise. When the battle's raging, that's when you praise. When you're sick in body, that's when you praise. When you're short on income, that's when you praise. When trouble's broken out, not just one giant, but an army of Goliaths are coming towards you, you throw up your hands and say, "I'm going to change this atmosphere into a climate of praise." Try it. Go ahead. If you're in the battle, it's not God's will for you to just sit there and go away silently. You need to change the atmosphere of your life by giving thanks to God. It says, put on the garment of praise. So what do? Put on some music that's worshipful. Get in a quiet place and start giving thanks to God. When you're going through hell, don't sit there and let the situation dominate you. Begin some worship and change the atmosphere that you're facing. And if praise leads the way, then victory is on the way. If I were the devil, I would encourage you to minimize praise. Yeah. I would tell you to sit down and look like a petrified, pickled Christian going through the routines of checking the box on Sunday. Because he knows whenever the church starts to praise the Lord, joy begins to manifest. Amen? Deliverance begins to spring out. You get out of the wilderness when you praise the Lord. You get out of famine when you praise the Lord. You don't wait until you're out. You start doing it in advance. You do it before. It's called faith. Praise now. It's not just noise. But the key to obtaining victory in your life, you're not going to have victory sitting and complaining. You will never get it being negative and talking defeat. You will only obtain it when there's an atmosphere of praise and thanksgiving. You have the right atmosphere. Keep the right atmosphere in your life, not just on Sunday, but all through the week. So as we approach Thanksgiving, praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Second, you must have the correct power source. What's the correct power source for every believer? It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're fighting, and everyone will, that old fleshly nature and trying to achieve some type of right living in the power of the flesh, you're just fighting yourself. But once you learn to fight the flesh in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the way you do that is you enter into the presence of God through worship with a humble heart before God, and his holy presence manifests, and there's a power source that's there in the presence of God. Because when you pray and the Holy Spirit begins to anoint your life, you are enabled to pray in the perfect will of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is more than a feeling. It's the gateway where we enter into a realm where you are refreshed, where you are refueled and refired and recommissioned, and all of a sudden the tank is full again. Get to know your friend, the Holy Spirit. Because when you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word says you will pray in perfect harmony with God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we pray in the will of God, He will give us an answer. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. The Holy Spirit has not only all wisdom, but a mouth with which He speaks. And when He's invited into our lives, He will speak to us. He will enable us to speak to God in code, so the enemy cannot interrupt or intercept our relationship with the Father. And we can have our requests be made known to God. When you pray with the right power source, you speak to the Father directly. When you pray with the strength of the Spirit, you will walk away refreshed. You have a code between you and God that no devil can decode. You keep the enemy in the dark as to the strategy that God's plotted. There's a power source, the person of the Holy Spirit, to empower our lives to bring fresh and new creativity into our walk with God. This is the true rest, the way to true comfort and happiness that you shall give to the weary, and this is the true refreshing. So when you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's refreshing that comes in your life. Watch how God will comfort you with His rest when you pray in the Spirit. In Genesis, God forms Adam. He's made from the clay, the scripture says, of the earth. He had all kinds of potential, but was lifeless. Then God walked over and breathed into Adam, and he became a living being. You are loaded with potential, but you'll never reach your potential without the power of the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, breathed into you. Your marriage will never reach its potential until you and your mate know how to resource this power source. It was mentioned today by our board members that we're thankful for the spouse that God gave me. I cannot tell you how grateful and thankful I have been through the years of serving God to have a partner who has stood strong in the Lord. Amen. Right by my side. It works when you live to serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, because you can never be what you might be without the power source being connected into your potential. Third, you need to have access to the right information. And hear what I'm saying. If all you get is bad information, misinformation, frightening information, fake news, then all you're going to hear is a world of fear and hopelessness. That's what you're going to live in. Just constant. Yeah. And sometimes, as I've mentioned to you, you've got, you know, one of the good things coming out of COVID is a lot of churches went on live stream and being some of them pre-recorded and some live. And we've got a great variety, but some people have taken that as a clue that I can just sit home. I don't have to go to church. I can just say, I don't need to go to church anymore because I can watch it on TV now or on a screen, whatever. It's cool. Yeah. And then there's some things on in some of those services you can get to watch that maybe you ought not to watch or listen to, because not every person that's sharing on those networks is giving you accurate theological teaching or truth from God's Word. And sometimes people will sit there without a lot of knowledge of God's Word and start listening to something and find themselves moving in a direction that takes them away from the doctrine and embodiment of Holy Scripture, right? You have to be careful what you allow to cross the bridge of your ears and enter into your spirit, because the enemy paints mental pictures by what you take in. And if all you do is take in the negative, That's why you have to get up and fight back. So I don't know about you, but when I hear some crazy stuff going on, whether it's a preacher or it's a politician, and sometimes I can't tell the difference between the two, okay, then I'll get up and I'll start talking back, right? When I discovered your words, I devoured them, Jeremiah said. They are my joy and my heart's delight. It's very important to know God's truth, not interpretation of it, but what God himself says. You must get up and fill yourself with what God says about your circumstance. I know you've heard the negative side. You've heard what the doctor said. You've heard what the facts declare. But there's something greater than what you've been dealing with. It's what God says about your situation. Gideon was hiding in a cave underground in fear. The Midianites had taken over Israel. They would come and raid and steal all the harvest every year at fall. And God walked into this place in the hole in the ground, a little cave of fear, and said, "You are a mighty man of valor." Gideon looked over his shoulder and said, "Who are you talking to?" He didn't feel like a winner. He felt like a loser. God doesn't call you like you are. God calls you as he sees you're going to be. God doesn't announce where you are today. He simply stands and declares by his word where you're going to be tomorrow. Because God sees something in you you don't see in yourself. The Lord's way to victory in your life is he will show you a picture, not as you see yourself, but as he sees you. You want to get God's portrait of what you look like, not your own. Your father doesn't see you broke. Your father doesn't see you defeated. Father doesn't see you with low self-esteem. Father doesn't see you as a loser. Father doesn't see you as a victim for the rest of your life. If you feed your mind with right information, the Father will show you a picture of yourself standing on the hilltop as a conqueror, blessed, healed, and delivered. We must get into our spirit right information, God's word. Fourth, you have to be in the right location. And it matters. It matters. Israel was in a famine. God told Elijah to go somewhere specifically. And here's what he said. Go hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. So Elijah would be provided for there in that specific place. If he didn't go there, he would not have been provided for. The brook would run in spite of drought throughout the land of Israel, and food was airlifted to him every single day. Then came a time, the scripture says, when the brook dried up in the famine, and the birds wouldn't fly. So what do you do when the brook goes dry and the birds won't fly? What do? Right? In other words, the system he thought was going to keep him independent and standing by himself and bless you. Listen, it's where you put all your marbles. It's what you believe. It's what you're building in the way you think it should be. Just when you think you've got God figured out, just when you think, well, you know, I'm doing pretty well. I don't think I need to go see him anymore because you've got everything figured out. How's it going to all shake out when stuff begins to affect you? God will dry up your brook and keep your bird out of the air. And nothing works that used to work because God finds a way. I believe he's doing that in answer to the prayers of American believers who are calling more vigorously on the name of the Lord. God finds a way to drive us to himself. Amen? And if God's drying up your brook, it just means you need to go back to the source. That's what happens when everything begins to collapse around us and the pain gets great enough and the hunger gets deep enough, we're driven back to the source. And neither the brook nor the birds were your source. God was always and is always and will always be your source. Say, God is my source. Amen. So Elijah said to Elisha, if you are where I am and see me when I'm taken. In the Hebrew, it says, if you see what I see when the chariot of God descends, you will receive a double portion. One translation has it like this from the Hebrew: if we see eye to eye, and man, what a word there is in that sentence right there. If we see eye to eye, you recall who Elijah was to Elisha. Spiritual mentor, his spiritual father. You don't ever want to part from your spiritual father unless you're seeing eye to eye. He said, if you don't see what I see when we part, you don't get the double portion. But if you see what I see when we part, man, that'll preach right there. I can think of, oh, wow, that'll preach. The word says, immediately, Elisha broke his plow. We ought to hear more messages about the broken plows, because that plow was his security. That plow was what he used to get food on his table for his family. That plow was his acceptance into the agricultural community. That plow was everything he had depended on to take care of his family. And God said, if you're going to get the double portion, you've got to break the plow. There comes a point when God will break the plow in your life and tell you, I want you to break that plow. Some want to hang on tenaciously to the old plow. But God's going to, listen, God's not going to bring the last day refreshing the way he did in past days. The new day refreshing will come totally and completely as new wine and fresh oil. That's why I feel sorry for some people who remain in churches where there is no or little anointing of the Lord. I believe that denominations as we have known them can easily turn into old plows, and God will need to break them. And if you're in an anointed ministry, cherish and remain in it. If you're not, then get out of it. Be somewhere in a place where the anointing of the Holy Spirit is realized and received with gladness. Be in the right location so God can do in you what he needs to do. Fifth, get the right people in your life. If there was ever any wisdom I would give you, get the right people in your life. I've watched too many people through the years of ministry hang with the wrong people because they had some connection in business or friendship, and there's influence. There's always influence, okay? People who will be honest with you are a gift from God. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are lavish and deceitful. So, words that correct and adjust and challenge are not an enemy. That's a friend. A friend is not someone who allows you to go down the wrong road and never say anything to you. Well, I just want him to be happy. Well, that's not what God wants. God wants them in his will, okay? So that means you may have to say something that rocks their happiness. A friend is someone who will say, even if it costs us our relationship, I have to tell you, you're going off the rails, okay? Now, some of you resent a parent who did that to you. They loved you enough to tell you, stop, turn. That's not the way you need to go. I'm grateful. We still have parents that did things like that, right? And we need more parents like that today. They'll keep getting on your nerves. They'll keep agitating you. They'll keep challenging you. Some of you may have had a pastor who's gotten on your nerves, who stepped on your toes, who got in your space, who told you, you know what? You can come in here and tell me God told me, which is like you pull out the ace of spades and throw it on the table, and no one can argue with you because God told me. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. He better have told you if you're going to say God told me. Be sure you understand the difference between what you feel and what God actually says. And leadership sometimes will have to tell you that does not fall into the parameters of God's word and his will. This smacks of something that's going to lead you into a place that will bring harm. Get around the right people. And over time, you will find that the ones who helped you like that were truly your friends. Amen? Positive people. People who love their church, who are loyal to their church, loyal and faithful to their leadership. Never hang around a Judas, because a betrayer of others will betray you. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. I hope you're listening this morning, because I'm giving you help. And I know when you get quiet, what that means, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Absorb this. We know people then after the Spirit. What's the Spirit of God doing in that person's life? That means everyone has a spirit about them. Spirits search out spirits. The same weaknesses you have, spirits will recognize, and they will come and try to hook up with you. Look how they affect your life. And once you begin to hook up with spirits like yours that show weakness in certain areas, they will multiply your trouble by two. So you just don't want relationships with people just like yourself. The word says iron sharpens iron. You need some people to challenge you. You need some relationships where there are those who have succeeded more than you have in specific areas and giftings that God has given them. And while you may feel comfortable being around people who have the same basic gifts you have, what you need to be around are people who at times make you a little uncomfortable and challenge you, because that's how you grow. Some of my best coaches in sports would always break us up as a team and put us with upperclassmen who were better in their field than we were. Because he said to us one day, after we would struggle on the court trying to play against people who were superior to us, you know, he said, I know you're frustrated, but you're never going to improve if all you do is play with people who have no skill sets any better than yours. I'm putting you with people who will force you to have to improve so I can see your skill sets grow and develop. That was good management and good teaching, right? If you just hang out with people on the same level. Listen, God will give you people around you that will drive you forward. Every once in a while, you'll see in a given sport an individual who's excelling all the time, and he makes his whole team better because he will push them. They may get to resent him at times, but he will push them and keep driving them until they become championship quality. God will give you the right people to push you forward. You might feel intimidated by them, uncomfortable because they're constantly driving and pushing, and they're wired to go that way. But if you happen to get around people that will help you like that, here's a good lesson. Just be quiet. Because if you listen instead of talk and complain, you might just learn something. Say, the right people. Paul needed a new direction, and God sent him the right person, Ananias. God sent him to a street called Straight, because Paul needed to be straightened out. So you are blessed when God sends you someone in your life to straighten you out. Do you receive this truth when it's preached to you? Do you receive it when someone stands here and challenges you? Do you listen to the leadership gifts that God has presented to you? Or do you just blow up like a bullfrog and say, I'm not going to sit and listen to this. I'm going to go somewhere I feel comfortable. You're not telling me what to do or how to live my life. Jesus wants Calvary Christian Center and his bride to mature, to be strong, to be well-developed, a church that understands a friend may wound you. My preaching and wisdom at times may feel like a wound to you. Paul had terrorized the church. I mean, he killed Christians for a living. He was a hitman. But after he's born again, he wanted to go to the church at Jerusalem and share with them what God had done in his life. In no way were they going to have him. No, you're not coming to our church. But Barnabas stepped in and said to the church, he's transformed. God has changed his life. Let him come and preach. The right person of Titus, Paul said of him, he encouraged me in the Lord. His name means you can make it. You will get there. We need some people who may not have a singing gift or a speaking gift, but they are great encouragers who say to you, you can make it. Tell somebody, you're going to make it. Amen? And those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. Be around the right people. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. People get together and talk about the Lord, and he hears them and actually puts a book of remembrance for them together, for that group of people who honor God and talk about him and learn from him. What do you talk about when you hang out with others in the body of Christ? One of the signs of spiritual failure in a person's life is when they begin to isolate themselves from the people of God and the house of God. Careful of that. In some ways, COVID has been an excuse for that. Now, I get it. People are compromised or they're incapable of being out among others because of their health issues. Get it. Others, of course, who have fearfulness and concerns because maybe someone in their family has contracted it and they realize that I have a predisposition because of the circumstances I live in. I have to be careful. But, you know, we need to just step out and say, God, no matter what, I'm going to your house. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord because your empty seat preaches a sermon. It says to the leadership, you ought to just quit preaching. What's the point? You might just record it and put it out on the air. Your message isn't worth hearing in person. It says to the brothers and sisters, other things are more important to me than the Lord. Oh, boy. Yeah, somebody put this together. And, you know, I have to keep some of these things because they're so well put together. And this is what they said. Let me read it to you because I think it's worth hearing. I'm too busy to come to church. The average church time in America is about somewhere between 90 minutes to 2 hours per week. For a grand total of about 4 days in attendance time in an entire year. The average American spent 2 hours a day watching Netflix in 2020. That's about 600 hours or approximately 25 days a year. We're not too busy. We just make choices. It says to God, not even your son's shed blood can make me faithful. It lets the devil say, victory's just ahead. They hardly ever show up for a meeting to be in the presence of God. Be careful to be around the right people who will build you up, strengthen you, and support you. Amen? Number six, get focused. That's so important. When Job prayed for his friends, God healed him and gave him double for his trouble. When the focus shifted from his own needs to the needs of others around him, he was in need. No question, he was in great need. He was in the trial of his life. But the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He prayed for others, and God gave him miracle after miracle. When the widow was in famine, was starving to death, God sent to her the prophet Elijah. God will send a man with a need to a person with a seed. He always does. And when he does, their whole future depends on what they do with that seed. And if what you have is not enough for your harvest, then you need to make it a seed. And the widow heard the man of God ask her for her last meal. And I can hear it on CNN now, right? Just like the preacher, he walks in, she's about to have her last meal, and he says, give it to me. I want your last meal. I can just hear it in the news media with that one, right? And she listened to him, and she did it. And the miracle is this. When you keep it in your hand, it shrinks. When you put it in God's hand, it multiplies. What she sowed came back in harvest, and for 3.5 years, her barrel always remained full. A few years later, her son died. But because she had obeyed the word of the Lord, she can come back to the man of God and had confidence because she had been a giver and a sower Now that her son has great need and she is in burden of great need, she knew God is not only my provider, but God is my restorer, and God raised the boy from the dead. That's how God works in the lives of people who are faithful. Number seven, wait for the right time. That's not easy to do. I can tell you it's not easy to do. I could have done what a lot of others have done, put us in a lot of debt, and we could be in a new building today. But we would also probably be struggling to try to figure out how to pay that debt down, right? And then preachers who create that sometimes just walk away, and the congregants are left with the headache. Okay? To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Never forget, God's will is not the only aspect to any given answer in your life. God's timing is just as equal as his will. Just ask Abraham how that worked out when he got ahead of God. We have to wait for the timing of the Lord. Ask Joseph. The 25 years that went by before the fulfillment of what God had promised him as a teenage boy. So to everything there's a season. Your purpose will not take place out of season. You hear much about purpose, but remember, there's a season for your purpose, and you have to learn to wait for the Lord. God's promises always have a time frame around them, and his time and my time are generally not the same moment. No farmer goes out and throws seeds on the ground and doesn't understand that there's going to have to be a process of time goes by before there's any fruit from that seed. Paul was under house arrest for 2.5 years. He's chained to Roman guards, and they change their shift with him every 4 hours. Think about this. Those guards were the cream of the crop of the Roman Empire, the best of the best, Praetorian guards. And they're chained every single day, 24/7, to Paul. Now, Satan has brain damage. How many know that? He does. Because when Jesus did this to him, right? He's never recovered from that. And he never will. And it's very important to understand. They were chained to Paul for 4 hours at a time. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of it. Can you imagine what happened to the guard being chained to Paul for four-hour shifts, who wrote half of the New Testament, okay? Can you imagine what the stories were like and the exchanges were like, right? They walked in literally with a license to kill him if he tried to escape. They walked out, in many cases, born-again believers, because Paul writes in one of his epistles, and to the saints in the household of Caesar. So the gospel went all the way to Rome and all the way into the household of Caesar himself, no doubt because of the guards that he was bringing to Jesus and the shifts that had to work round the clock to keep him imprisoned for 2.5 years. Every shift change, Paul saw as a God moment and an opportunity. We need to see what's around us as opportunities to share the good news of the Lord. Wherever we are, rather than opportunities to just complain about life all the time. If God has you in delay, he's still doing something. Sometimes it's days, the writer to the song wrote. Sometimes it's years. Some face a lifetime of fallen tears. But he's in the darkness, and he's in the cold. And just like the morning, he always shows. Always. He's working destiny in us when time is going by. He's working character in us. So when you arrive there, you won't topple with the winds of success. You'll be able to stand. Paul was confronted with the fact that on one of his journeys, they could kill you. They can put you to death. They can destroy you. There's all kinds of threats against your life. By that time in his life, he stood up and he said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I might fulfill the call that he's put on my life." That's where God wants to take us. The psalmist said, "My times are in your hands." David said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." So whatever circumstance you find yourself in today, why don't you stand with me? There's hope for you in God. Amen? And if you take these steps, things I've learned in 3 decades, atmosphere is so important. Power source, energy, where am I drawing that from? It's not my strength, it's his. Information. Where am I looking to for my decision-making process? The culture? I read a scary statistic to the board the other night that too many Christians have what they call a Christian worldview. And on that spectrum, there are so many among those who call themselves Christians who do not believe all of God's word is true. Become very selective about what they believe and don't believe. Among those are those who think that there's more than one way to go to God and go to heaven among Christians. I don't want a Christian worldview. I want a biblical worldview. What does his word say? Right information. Place. Where do you want me, Lord? Now, that means I will plant my roots down. John shared that with us when he was here one Sunday night a few years back. He said, you can't keep pulling up a fruit tree out of the ground because you think that soil over there is a little better than the soil you're in, or it's getting too hot where I am right now. I don't think I want to go to some other climate than the one I'm in. And you just keep pulling the roots up, and planting, replanting, pulling up. He said, sooner or later, there'll be no fruit at all on that plant. Zero. None. Because you'll be destroyed. Its ability to produce by constantly moving around in places. People. I want to be around people who believe God, who trust him, who believe for the best, who are ready for whatever God has for us, who expect the heavens to open, and we'll be back tonight with an expectation God is going to do something great in that service, and I'm not going to miss it no matter what's on television tonight. Focus. I like the way Paul wrote it. This one thing I do. There are a lot of things I could do. I'm not a one horse, one trick pony. I've got a few things I could do talent wise. I'm grateful for that. I'm not bragging about that. I know I could. But I'm not going to dilute my time, which can easily happen because I just keep diluting what it is I'm called to do by all these other things I get my fingers into. And the next thing you know, I'm not focused any longer on the one thing God wants me to do. And time. Teach me, Lord. This is not a good prayer to pray. Patience. Which means the trying of your faith. He will test it. With time. When those come together, you've got conditions ready for the release of the blessing of God in your life. If there's anything I want to see here, is I want to see this place packed to the walls with people and the blessing of God flowing before we even get through the doors and open our mouths to begin to sing praises to God. That worship has already begun before we got here. Because we're worshipful people, and when we gather together, all of heaven falls on us. I want to see those conditions happen. How about you? So, would you just lift your hands for a moment and praise him and thank him and believe him for the best? because the best is yet to come. And I want his best in my life. I want his best in your life. I want all that God has for us to come to pass. Lift your hands and love him and bless him. Come on, saints. This is your moment. This is your time. And while eyes are closed for just a few seconds in worship and in praise, I always want to ask and take the opportunity to find out among us or those watching from home. It all begins this way. The journey begins in a simple yet profound confession of my need for God in my life. Something I can't get smart enough to earn, wealthy enough to buy. Or enough good deeds done to make God smile in my direction. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. Whether it be one lie ever told, one thought ever thought, one deed ever done, and there's no fixing it on our end. Because I can't get good enough to fix what I've done. But there's one who came in my place and said, I'm sinless. I was tested in every way you've been tested, and I did not capitulate and fail in sin. And it's God's blood that washes away my sin. That's the sacrifice I need to be born again. We're celebrating births in our church, our staff and others in the family of God here. And that's phenomenal. That's born of flesh, human birth. But Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you to Jesus, the only Savior, not one of many, the only Savior. By coming to him in repentance, he washes away our sins and makes us be in right standing with God. For I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, and therefore I am saved. If that's you today watching from home, if that's you here in the room, just lift your hand and say, I need to be saved. I really do. I need to be born again. Get that hand up high. Hold it up for just a few seconds before we conclude with our word of prayer. Anywhere else in the room, just lift that hand. Say, Lord, I need to be born again. Thank you, Lord. So let's pray this prayer aloud. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiveness. That's called mercy. And thank you for grace. That's your strength. Between your mercy and grace, I am born again. I confess my sins. I repent. I don't want to continue this way. I need a new life and a new beginning. And I thank you for that freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Celebrate Jesus.